وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله خير الجزاء for all the du'as that you make for us and for the ummah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Hazrat Mawlana Salim Saab, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on you and your family. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness to Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International. Today we will be discussing the life of Hazrat Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, also one of the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, one of the noble wives of our beloved Nabi Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her name was Hind. Her kunniyat was Umm Salama. She was from the Makhzum family of the Quraysh. Her father's name was Abu Umayya, and mother's name and the mother was from the Banu Firas tribe. She married Abdullah ibn Abd al-Asad, who is popularly known as Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala an. He was Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha's paternal cousin and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's foster brother. Several of her children have the honor of companionship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They are Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. She embraced Islam at the beginning of prophethood together with her husband. She emigrated to Abyssinia with her husband, and after living there for some time, she returned to Makkah Mukarrama and then emigrated to Medina Munawwara. According to biographers, she was the first woman to emigrate to Medina Munawwara. She remained with her husband for some time. Hazrat Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a great horse rider. He participated in the battles of Badr and Uhud. In the battle of Uhud, he suffered a few injuries which did not heal. The injuries tore open in Jumad al-Thaniya, 4th Hijri, and he passed away. His eyes remained open after his death, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam closed them with his blessed hand and made dua for his forgiveness. Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha was pregnant at the time of his birth. When her iddah expired after the birth of a child, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu proposed to her, but she declined. So Hazrat Abu Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then went to her with a proposal on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She replied, "I have a few complications. I am a woman who has a lot of self-respect. I have children, and I am quite old." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was prepared to accommodate all these complications. So Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha had no excuse to refuse his proposal. She said to her son, whose name was Umar, "Get up and get me married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." The marriage took place towards the end of Shawwal in the 4th year of Hijri. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now replaced the severe pain which Salama radiallahu ta'ala experienced when she was separated from Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anhu with eternal joy. The Sunan of Ibn Majah rahimahullah relates, when Abu Salama passed away, I remembered the hadith which he used to relate to me. So I started making dua. And when I used to say, O Allah, give me a husband who is better than Abu Salama, I used to think in my heart, who can be better than Abu Salama? But I continued making the dua, and Allah Ta'ala blessed me with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her 2 grinding stones, a water pot, and a leather pillow which was filled with date leaves. The same items were also given to the other pure wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ibn Maktum radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a senior sahabi from the Quraysh and a muaddin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he was blind, he used to frequent the rooms of the pure wives. When he approached one day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha and Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha to observe parda with him. They said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is a blind person. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, but you are not blind, you can see him. Although all the pure wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were highly knowledgeable, none could compare with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. Mahmud ibn al-Abid writes, كان أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحفظن من حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كثيرا ولا مثلا لعائشة وأم سلمة. The wives of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to memorize many ahadith from him, but none could compare with Hazrat Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها and Hazrat أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها. Marwan ibn Hakam used to ask them questions and openly say, كيف نسأل أحدا وفينا أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. How can we ask anyone else when the wives of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم are present amongst us? So Hazrat Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه and Hazrat Ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه, who were themselves oceans of knowledge, were dependent on her knowledge. A large group of tabi'in would remain at her door seeking knowledge from her. She used to read the Quran very well in a manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read. So someone asked her one day, what was the manner of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's recitation of the Quran? So she replied, he used to read each verse separately. She then demonstrated how he used to read. She was enthusiastic about listening to hadith. She was combing her hair one day when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up to deliver a sermon. The moment he said, O people, she tied her hair hastily, stood up and listened to the entire sermon. Such was her enthusiasm to listen to the words of advice and guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When she heard anything, she learnt it, memorized it, conveyed it to others, and taught it to them. Her narrations are testimony to this. She used to fast 3 days in the week, Monday, Thursday, and Friday. She was always in search of ways to earn rewards. Her children from a previous marriage with her, and her children from a previous marriage were with her, and she was very meticulous in the manner in which she nurtured them. She asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard, will I be rewarded for this? So he replied, yes. She used to join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in good deeds. The verse with reference to purification was revealed in her house. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He covered them with a shawl and said, O Allah, these are my family members. Remove impurities from them and purify them. When Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha heard this dua, she said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am I also with them? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have a rank and you enjoy an excellent rank. She was particular about enjoining good and forbidding evil. Some of the leaders made changes to the salah times, there is a left the desirable mustahab times of salah. So Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha warned them in this regard. Her nephew performed two rakats of salah one day. The place of prostration, the place of sajda was dusty, so he dusted it while going into sajda, into prostration. So Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha stopped him, saying, this action is against the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's slaves did this on one occasion and he stopped him from doing it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to that particular slave, "Tariba wajhaka Allah, may your face get dusty in Allah's path." So Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha was very generous and encouraged others to do the same. She was the last of the pure wives to pass away. She was still alive at the time when Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred. She fell unconscious when she heard about his martyrdom and was very saddened by it. She did not live for long after that. She was from among the early emigrants to Medina Munawwara, and she is enumerated and counted among the Sahabiyat who were jurists. She passed away in the year 61 Hijri. Walid ibn Utbah, the grandson of Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was the governor of Medina Munawwara at the time. Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha had made a bequest that he should not perform a janazah salah. He therefore went out of the city and sent Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, who performed her janazah salah. She was buried in Baqi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminate her grave, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on her. These were the honorable Azwaji Mutahharat, their superb qualities and how they dedicated themselves to the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate them in rank. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.